Praise his name.
Bless the Lord. Good morning, everyone. We are glad to be here again in the house of God to worship him, to give him glory, and to give him praise, because he is worthy. There is none like him. He's glorious in holiness, and he's fearful in praises, and he's always doing wonders. So glad to be here with God's people again, as we are here to share in the word of God and to give him glory. We are glad to have worshiping with us Brother Hines. We haven't heard him for quite a while, and we are glad to know he's here with us. We're glad to know that Brother Dunkley is here also. And I'm going to ask the brethren if we could pray for him, because he lost his father just during the course of this week. And it was a dramatic experience. And we are going to pray for God's servant as he passed through this difficult patch. We are also so glad to have Brother Bailey joining us in worship. God is good. Every time, God is good. Bless the Lord. We're going to look on this portion of scripture which was read by our sister Henry. A portion of scripture that is not necessary, that has not been used very often when it comes to setting light this. It is mainly for dedication of young children and so forth. But we're going to look on a certain aspect of it, which I believe have something to do with us. And I'm going to ask you, please, to follow me. If you would just grab your Bibles and follow me in the different passages that will be read during this time. And I'm quite mindful of the fact that after this, we are going to engage in breaking up bread service. So we would like to make room for that important service unto the Lord. But we are going to give a topic to this word today. And the topic we're going to use is my father's business. Amen. My father's business. We are going to look on a few things under the topic and to see how we can apply ourselves. One of the things that seem to be slipping from the Christian community is a culture where the God first mentality is not being highlighted in the way in which it should. God first in our lives is not being portrayed in the way we used to do it in the past. And to a large extent, for those who are just coming in, when I say coming in, I mean young converts coming into the Christian community. If they comes in and they does not see the strong demonstration of the God first presentation or culture, they too are not going to embrace it in the way in which it should. For argument's sake, the first thing that we normally do is pray in the morning to start a new day. There are other things like if you get a job, you dedicate that job to the Lord. You're going on a trip, you dedicate that trip to the Lord. You get your paycheck, you know that the first 10% belongs to the Lord. That is your tithe. These are God's first culture that is embedded in the Christian community. And we need to embrace them as much as we can. It is God first. We are eating our meal. And before we put a mask to our mouth, we acknowledge the Lord. It is God first. And in all our dealings, all our undertaking, it is important that we have this God first mentality in our hearts. And we are following the example of our Lord Jesus. In the life of Jesus, as you would look on the scriptures, you would discover that in all Jesus' operation, he acknowledged sometime openly and sometime you have to see through his actions. But he is always acknowledging his Father's first. It is a culture within the Christian community. And it is not just since Jesus came that we discover it. It is right there through the scriptures. But he came to reinforce it, to make it more meaningful, and to make it clearer so that all of us can understand it. So today we're going to look on this thought a little bit more under the topic, My Father's Business. As you look on the passage that was read, you will discover that the parents of Jesus went up to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when the Passover was finished, they returned back to Nazareth. But after one day, they looked around and they didn't see Jesus. And they thought that Jesus must have been in the crowd somewhere. But they decided to search, and still they did not find him. So what they decided to do was to turn back to Jerusalem. And the word tells us that after 3 days of searching, they found him in the temple. And he was not just sitting down in the temple, he was not just in a corner sleeping, but he was active in the temple as they found him. He was asking and answering questions from doctors. Doctors were asking him questions, and he was answering them their questions. And there was a buzz of activity going on between these learned men and the 12-year-old Jesus. And Mary and Joseph were stunned. The word that the Bible uses, surprise, amazed, when they discover that he was not with them for this, for the purpose of being in the temple with the doctors answering their questions and engage in a to and fro conversation. And so it just opened up a brand new course of conversation. And it is important that all of us as Christians start to take a look on this. See Jesus here as an example as to how we go about our Christian life. And this is a rather strange approach, but a meaningful one nonetheless. As they, Mary and Joseph, ponder over what they have discovered. My Father's business. And so, while the Bible did not tell us where word for word questions that were being asked of him in the temple, it goes without saying that they were engaged in things pertaining to holiness. Because that is Jesus' mission. It It might also involve creation in general. These are learned men who were astonished about the answers that they were receiving from the 12-year rule. And so what we discover here is that the house of God for Jesus is important. In fact, the psalmist tells us in Psalms 84, the psalmist said, "O amiable are thy tabernacle." And Jesus sees in the very same light, "O amiable are thy tabernacle." The beauty, the experience that goes on within the four walls means a whole lot to the psalmist. And he yearned to be there. Of course, he went on to say, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tent in the tents of the wicked." And Jesus came, and Jesus found the temple of God, the house of God, important to him. And when his parents were on their way back home, he chose to dwell in the house of the Lord. And I believe those of us who are here today in this service, I thank God for you, and I trust that you will attend all the services that we have. We are here on Tuesday nights too at 7:30. "O amiable are thy tabernacle, O Lord." I want to be there. Something is happening in God's house. Each time we come to service, something is happening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of who is in the house of God. And I would like to take you a little bit to the prophet David. As he looked down through the corridors of time, and he saw the Messiah, Jesus. He saw Jesus coming, and through prophetic utterance, he made some statements that we need to tie into the fact that Jesus remained in the temple after his parents went on back home. We need to tie this to what happened to Jesus here. And it is Psalms chapter 40, and I'm going to read from verse 40 to 40. I'm going to read from verse 7 to verse 10. Psalms chapter 40, reading from verse 7 to verse 10. I make the comment as I read. "Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the books. It is written of me." This is the Psalms. This is the psalmist speaking through prophetic words, prophetic utterance, as he refer to Jesus. "I come in the volume of the book that is written of me." The entire Bible is about Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. The entire Bible is about Jesus. The volume of the book is about Jesus. He is not always called by the same name. I refer in the same way, I must admit. Sometimes he is referred there as the Son of God. Sometimes he is referred there as the Messiah. Sometimes he is referred there as the Redeemer. Sometimes he is referred there as the Christ. Sometimes he is called by his name Jesus. Sometimes he is called the Mediator. Sometimes he is called the Seed of David. And there are many different titles that are given to him right throughout the scripture. But the bottom line is the entire Bible, all 66 books, is about Jesus. And so the word tells us here in Psalms 40, I come in the volume, speaking about the entire Bible, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. So when Jesus appeared there in the temple, he was there because of what was written on the books concerning him. And he was there to make it plain, his position, and the position of the Trinity, the position of the Godhead, and how he is about to represent that Godhead here on earth. And then Psalms 40 went on to say in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. I delight to do thy will. Jesus is saying, look, I am not sad in working here, in demonstrating Father's business. I have great delight in carrying about Father's business. My responsibility is to promote Father's business. While I am here, Father's business is going to take center stage. That is Jesus. As he is there with these doctors inside the temple, and his parents went on back home. But we ask ourselves the question, what exactly is Father's business? Because we need to know what exactly Jesus is presenting here. And Psalm 40 gives us an indication of the question and answers that were taking place inside of temple with these doctors and the 12-year-old. So we pick up that in verse 9 in Psalms chapter 40. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Here we have it. Righteousness is what is being preached by the Lord. Righteousness is what is important. Righteousness is what he was conveying to the doctors in that temple. He was lifting up Father's business. He was talking about Father's business. Father, if you remember what Luke 4:18 tells us, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. That is what he said. He was preaching righteousness. And I believe if there is anything that we need to do as a church is to promote righteousness, which is Father's business.
Amen.
Let Jesus be our example here as we get back to the God first culture in the church and promotes Father's business, righteousness, hallelujah. Promote holiness in the house of God. And then the last verse we read here is verse 10 in Psalm chapter 40. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. These are the things that is on Jesus' mind. What are they in verse 10? Righteousness, faithfulness, salvation, loving kindness. These are the things that was on Jesus' heart as he conveyed the mind of God to the people. And in this country right now, we need a display of Psalms 40 and verse 10 among us. We need all of those things that are mentioned there to be evidence in our community and in our country. The business of God. Promoting the business of God. For people who are desperate in need of holiness, righteousness, loving kindness, tenderness, and salvation.
Amen.
And Father, Jesus is here. Jesus has come to make these things, these areas of righteousness, to be center stage in his entire life, as he demonstrated not only in the temple, but even outside of the temple. He will be there demonstrating these areas of righteousness. And so we find that the Father's business is a righteous business. And that is the first point that we make here. The Father's business is a righteous business. And it is not surprising that he was found in the church. Jesus could have been anywhere else as they returned to look for him. They could have found him anywhere else. But no, they found him in the church, promoting righteousness. And that's why this whole idea of you being here this morning with us in this meeting, in church, speaks volume of your interest in the Lord. You want to be in church because in church is Father's business, which is righteousness.
Amen.
And the second thought that I would like to share with us under the topic, my Father's business, is my Father's business is more important than food. Remember now, we are going back to look on Jesus as an example as to how we approach our Christian walk. And not only that, to recreate the culture that he enforced when he was here. As he rightly divide Father's business from other business. Father's business, my Father's business is more important than food. Let's look on a passage of scripture that speaks to this. You go with me to St. John chapter 4. St. John chapter 4, and I read from verse 31 to 34. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And listen to what Jesus said as we close here. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Listen to that, church. The disciples, all of them were traveling together. The word said Jesus must go through Samaria. And Jesus decided he was going to stop by the well, a cycle. The disciples said, we are going in town to get some food to eat. Because by now, all of them were hungry. So the disciples walked away from Jesus, leave him alone, as they went to get some bread to eat. They got the food in town, and they came back and offered him food. And Jesus refused to eat. So they questioned, what's going on here? Then Jesus opened their eyes to something that is fundamental to his mission. Jesus said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Hallelujah! My Father's business come first before food. My Father's business is more satisfying than food. My Father's business is tasty. My Father's business satisfies me. And here he was engaged in Father's business. What was he doing here that satisfies him, that caused the disciples to surprise that he's not hungry? There was a woman who was in need of salvation, who came to the well that he was leaning on to drink water, to draw water. And Jesus, in witnessing to this woman, telling her about holiness, telling her about righteousness, which is Father's business, telling her about herself, telling her about what she needs to do. That brought satisfaction to Jesus. Ultimately, the woman received salvation from Jesus and rushing to the city and said, Come see a man who told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Hallelujah. And if you read the rest there in St. John 4, you're going to discover the tremendous benefit that comes as a result of Jesus' witness to that one woman there beside the well, while the others went to buy food. The whole village of men came out as a result of our witness to see Jesus. And their lives were changed for the better. Jesus described this as my Father's listening. And at the same time, he was saying it is more satisfying than food. Hallelujah. He knows his mission. He knows what he is about. And then Jesus reminded them, informed them in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In the enemy, the devil wants to use food to trap Jesus and to throw him off balance when it comes to his Father's will, his Father's business. You remember, as he went up into the mount to be tempted of the enemy, according to Matthew. The word said Jesus was fasting for 40 days. The word even said he was hungry at the end of 40 days, which is understandable. Not eating for 40 days, you would be hungry. The enemy wants to exploit his hunger by bringing him down and say, look, command that these stones be made bread because you're hungry. What did Jesus answer and said unto him? Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus knew where to draw the line. Hallelujah. Because of Father's business. And I believe right now he's setting an example for all of us. He's setting an example for all of us to follow as we live this Christian life, one in which we cultivate the culture of God first. I know of many people right now in the church, both here in America and Jamaica, who have walked away from their business. And I'm not talking about business that bite the dust. That is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about striving business. Walk away from their business to serve God. To take on the responsibility of promoting the kingdom. And yes, the income is not as good as what they used to have when they were engaged in their businesses. But it's a matter of putting God first. Let me tell you, it got to be the Holy Ghost who tells you to do that. Because people are quite selfish in their approach when it comes to certain things. And to determine that Jesus should be first according to Father's business, and to make dramatic decisions like these, you've got to be hearing from the Lord. But this is the culture that Jesus came to promote, that God must be first. If you're a Christian and God is not first in your life, I think you need to pray again. As we will see in the next point that I'm going to make, which is the last point. It is important that we recognize God to be more important than food. Than food. Job said, I esteem thy words more than my necessary food. In other words, Job was saying, look, your word come first before a master to my mouth. Have we seen Jesus in this light? Have we seen God in this light? Are we promoting God in this light? Is our tithe and our offering reflecting God first as believers? No wonder that man, as much as he was boasting in the temple, two of them went up to pray. We heard that young servant minister along that line the other day. In his prayer, he said, I tithe of everything that I possess. No wonder he was able to pray that prayer before the Lord. And the Lord knew that it is true, that he did it. But he did it out of a selfish motive. I'm saying to you and I this morning, you being here, let us become unselfish and let us honor God and put him first in this crucial area of our Christian life, our tithes and our offering. This first. This belongs to the Lord first. I have my bills, yes, but I'm going to honor him first. When we have our meal, before we put a master to our mouth, let us honor the Lord by telling him thanks. Before we go on our trip, let us honor the Lord by putting the entire thing before him for his direction. If we buy a house, let us open the house with thanksgiving and prayer before God. It could be you alone, but it is a culture of God first. As Jesus demonstrated, my Father's business comes first. Hallelujah. And he who treasure his Father's business more than food. I have meat to eat that you don't know of, he said to his disciples. My meat, my food is to do the will of my Father. Father's business. And the last point I'm going to deal with, I could go more in these things, but I'm conscious of the breaking of bread service coming up. The last point I would like to look on is my Father's business comes before family. Now that, I don't know how well you are going to want to relate with me after speaking about this one. My Father's business comes before family. Remember what we said first. My Father's business is a righteous business. Then we said, my Father's business comes before food. Now we are saying that my Father's business comes before family. The scripture that supports this is taken from St. Luke chapter 14. And I read from verse 25 to 27. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, a great company following Jesus, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What a strong word that Jesus used here. Jesus used the word headache. He said, if any man, verse 26, if any man come after me and hate, H-A-T-E, hate, not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The God first culture that he came to demonstrate in the temple. Notice what happened here. His parents return to Jerusalem, and after 3 days hunting him down, they found him in the temple. They found him in the temple. And Mary said to him, in a rather strong way, she asked the question, why aren't you with us? Why aren't you with us? Then Jesus answered and said, wist it not that I must be about my Father's business? In other words, Jesus was saying to her, didn't you know? Didn't you know that I must be engaged in my Father's business? Look where you found me. You found me in the church. Why did you go about searching for me for 3 days? You should have come straight to the church, because that's where I am. That's where I would be found. Didn't you know that, Mary? In a sense, this is the conversation. Something in that family, in that, he being 12 years old, in that family, prior to this experience, some things were being shared. Some body language, some words, some attitude, some behavior were being conveyed by Jesus to his family in regards to who he was. Why he was able to make this statement? He said, didn't you know? Meaning, there got to be some idea of him engaging in this behavior in the temple. He should not be surprised that he is there, answering questions from these doctors, doing his father's business. He must have demonstrated that in the home. To ask her, why are you surprised that I am here in the temple? The word tells us in the passage we read, the second to last verse, that Mary pondered these things in her heart. Mary had seen something about this young child that baffles her mind. In the home, his behavior. And you need to remember now, this is a young man without sin. He has never engaged in any sin act in the home. He has never taken out anything without the proper authority. He has never done anything wrong. He is a man without sin. And for him to live in a home among his brothers and his mother and fathers, who have sin attitude, he must be somebody who stood out. And that is what he is saying to Mary. Can't you see? Don't you understand? And he could have said, based on my behavior in the home, couldn't you see that I uphold my father's interest and business above everything else that I do at home? You should not be surprised that I'm here in the temple doing my father's business. And so Jesus demonstrates that family comes second when it comes to father's business by making this bold statement here. If any man come after me and hate not his father and mother, brother and sister, and his life as well, they cannot be my disciple. What a statement. And we're not talking about hate in the sense of you're not talking to somebody, or you dislike the person. That is not what is here. Hate means priority. Hate here, as Jesus puts it, it means putting everything else beyond the work or the interest of God. When God does not what it is, family, friends, sister, brother, business, union it, Jesus is saying, and using a strong word, the word hate, it means that it is God first, and then everything else afterwards. Your wife, your husband, my Lord, your children, your mother. Yes, Jesus is saying, they come second when it comes to father's business. And he's not implying that you go out there and don't talk to your mother, don't talk to your sister, don't talk to your brother, don't talk to your wife, don't talk to your husband. Jesus is not saying any such thing. Love them, support them, be glad to be around them. But Jesus is saying, where is your priority? Father's business comes first. And so when he said this, he made sure that he ended this verse with a very important statement. And the statement is, and your life also. What is the current reading here? 14. Brethren, sisters, yea. And his own life. And his own life also. That is the current reading. And his own life also. Any man come after me, let him hate all of these family members and his own life also. We mentioned that Jesus is an example here. What example? The example of hating his own life. A young man in his 30s, in the prime of his life, allow himself to be ill-treated, allow himself to be boxed, allow himself to be mocked, allow himself to be flogged, allow himself to be nailed to a cross, and ultimately gave up his life without resisting. Hating his life for the business of his father. And that is the example that he has left. It is one thing that you hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. But I want to assure you, I want to ask the question, which of you are going to hate your life? Which of you are going to hate your life to the extent of giving it up? Jesus did. Jesus did. I'm saying to the church today that there is a culture that Jesus has come to promote. The culture of God first. by doing my Father's business. And I trust that as of today, we will have a new approach to this as believers, that in everything that we engage, every barring none, every single thing that we are engaging, there will be the element that cross our mind, our heart, that God must come first in this situation. Jesus has left us the example. And you know what the word that we read earlier on the passage of scripture said? After they found him, Jesus went along with them back home. And he was obedient. Hallelujah. And he was obedient to them as his parents. No blood loss, no hatred, no animosity of any sort. Things as usual. Things as the whole matter is settled. And the word said Jesus grew in stature. But guess what? Mary pondered them in her heart as she discovered. As she discovers something outstanding in the life of people that Jesus comes to promote. And that is, regardless of who you are, where you are, what you're engaging, you need to recognize the business of God first. And every business of God runs through the church. That's why we invite people to come to the Lord and to learn of him. To learn of him. To learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me and become a good follower. Not only that, my Father's business is a righteous business. Not only that, my Father's business is more important than food. Not only that, my Father's business is more important than family. But my Father's business needs to be recognized in the life of all believers. My brothers and my sisters, you are here. God bless you. Thank you very much for being here. And I trust that we are going to look on this. We're going to take a new approach to this as we deal with Father's business. But for you who have not yet committed your lives to the Lord, the Lord has set us an example here that we need to follow. And you need to step in to this consciousness that God requires you to honor God first in all your dealings. In all my ways, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let us pray. Father, we bless your name this morning. Amen. We say thank you for your loving kindness, which is bigger than life. We thank you, Lord God, for opening our eyes to see your mission and to see the pulse of your heart, which direction that you're going, which direction you're leading us. And we thank you for telling us, Lord God, that Father's business comes before everything. So we give you praise and we give you glory for your word to our hearts. Help us that we will adjust ourselves accordingly. Help us that we will see what you have seen. And we will honor our Father And we will give him the praise. And we will give him the glory. We say thanks to you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.